Roy Hawkins is RNZ Pacific's editor. He's in the Pacific Islands at the moment, where votes are being counted in the election in the Solomon Islands. Roy Hawkins, welcome to 9 to Noon. Thanks for being in touch. I know how super busy you are. Just let us know where things are at with the election results, please, Roy.
Provisional results just coming through now, and also our first national MPs are likely to be announced this morning by the Electoral Commission. Some of the issues with the count, there was here in the capital, the main counting venue was too small, so they had to relocate some of the counting to another centre, and setting that up has taken time. So in the capital, counting has not started, but in other provincial centres, counting is well underway.
All right. Now, security beefed up significantly around this election, I understand.
Yeah, it's been a bit antsy. Like here in the Solomon Islands, like, people don't just sit at home and listen to the results. All the supporters are gathering outside of these counting centres, camping out. There's people that are just waiting to hear results. And so anything that happens in the counting centres, that's a bit... I was at one yesterday where one of the seals had been put on a ballot, had been put on a ballot box, but hadn't been filled out in the paperwork. And there was starting to be some noise and a commotion outside, people unhappy with this. There seems to be a lot of mistrust in the process. People really antsy about their candidates winning or losing. So the security is really, really tight around the counting centres, heaps of police around. And of course, we've got Australian, New Zealand and other regional police forces supporting the local Solomon Islands police force.
What are the election issues, the big issues that people are voting on, Roy?
People I've spoken to talked about delivery of basic government services, infrastructure. The switch from Taiwan to China has come up. Locals are concerned about that. And also it's even some self-interest in sort of what they would get out of their leader. As you know, in Solomon Islands, there's a lot more of a direct connection to your MP in terms of getting development into the communities, that they're as much legislators as they are development project coordinators. So there's a bit of that going on as well.
And we mentioned just in the introduction a lot of interest in some of the world's biggest powers. There's geopolitics in the background here, isn't there?
Yes, I've never seen so many international media at a Solomon Islands election. There's been people from all over the world here. And just that interest in Solomon Islands being that first sort of domino to fall in terms of Taiwan's allies in the Pacific from 2019, followed by obviously Kiribati. And then more recently this year, we've had Nauru as well. So it's been that real turn in focus. And there was a controversial a policing security agreement that Honiara went into with China after the riots in 2021. And that also catalyzed some of the increased engagement, especially from Washington, D.C. in the Pacific, in Solomon Islands, but in the Pacific in general.
What are the potential outcomes here? You've talked to a lot of local people telling you what they're voting on and what's on their minds. But what kind of potential leadership structure could come out of this?
The main thing to understand, people are here observing this election, talking about parties and groupings, is that every MP coming into this 50-seat parliament is a free agent. The parties are more like agreements than actually locking people into parties. So the seats belong to the individual MPs. And they are free to move to whichever party they choose after the election, even if they contested under that party banner. So it'll be pretty fluid. All of the governments in Solomon Islands have always been loosely held together coalitions. So imagine for the New Zealand context, instead of national the three party coalition government, you have a coalition government of how many ever people there are in the coalition. So if it's 24, you're dealing with 24 different interests. So it's quite a miracle that it's held together, to be honest.
And so where does that leave us with the leader of any government? Of course, the incumbent PM Sangavari. How is that settled ultimately?
So the The groupings will, what usually happens is the independents in Solomon Islands are usually the kingmakers. Is even in this election, the independent election candidates outnumber any single political party. So the political parties groupings come through the election, and then they'll proceed to try and hoover up and lobby and bring the independents into their midst. And whichever party swells to the largest will usually be the one that leads the forming of the coalition. Interestingly, for the former government, there was actually no party formed until after the election, and then they proceeded to sack in independents, and then they, by the end of it, they were larger than all of the rest of the parties that contested the election.
Long way to go. And as you say, results just coming in slowly on this first day of counting. Thank you very much for the cross, and people can follow you online and on Aokoroi as things become a bit clearer. Thank you over time. Thanks very much, RNZ Pacific editor Koroi Hawkins, speaking to us from Honiara, where votes are underway in the Solomon Islands election. Just a steady seam of provisional results expected today, and as he has already just explained, a lot of negotiating to happen beyond here.